Tyndale, past and present. This trip out to Tyndale in North Cumbria has been supported by Friends of the Lake District and Natural England. We head out of the city of Carlisle, east in the direction of Newcastle. After passing the market town of Brampton, we turn off the A69 and follow the A689 towards Alston. The villages of Milton and Hallbank Gate come into view in between the open countryside dominated, as much of Cumbria is, by sheep. Finally, after travelling for 15 miles or so, we see a sign for Tyndale. Hooray, we've arrived. Tyndale is a small hamlet with a farm or two and a few scattered houses. And yet for a tiny old spot, it has had its time in the limelight and seen some unexpected treasures turn up. First things first, Tyndale and the surrounding Tyndale Fell are situated in the North Pennines, a wild and rugged part of Cumbria. The area doesn't quite have the idyllic charm of other parts of the county, yet nevertheless is designated as an area of outstanding natural beauty. Tyndale itself is a place of contrasts. Stone-built terrace houses nestle in an area which is largely agricultural. These houses and other buildings give a clue to its past. One is a former Wesleyan chapel. Another was once a schoolhouse. One is a former cooperative emporium. Another was once a public reading room. Today, Tyndale is populated by 24 or so families, but would have once housed, educated, employed and serviced hundreds. And it's only a short hop from these homes to a former place of work which has left, as a reminder, the excavated, blackened, scorched earth of its industrial past. Tyndale had seen coal and lime being mined since the early 1700s, but it was as the smelter works, firing and purifying zinc, that it grew, and at its height in the 1800s, about 600 people lived and worked in the area. With a ready supply of water diverted from nearby Tyndale town, and links to the railways enabling coal to be delivered from local drift mines and ore from Alston, the place became an ideal, out-of-the-way furnace of heat and fire. The process of smelting ores could use either zinc blend or blackjack, and it is the latter which may explain why the area that leads to the site of the former smelter is commonly referred to as the Jack. The site itself contained 28 furnaces, where approximately 2 kilos of zinc was produced every 24 hours. It doesn't sound much, does it, for all that effort and sweat. Also on site were a warehouse, offices and a manager's house. The main waste product from the process of extracting zinc from ore was sulphur dioxide, which, due to the low chimney, rapidly fell to earth, killing the local vegetation. The effects of this pollution led the site operators, the Nented and Tyndale Lead and Zinc Company, to having to pay significant compensation for the damage to the land. By 1893, 95 hectares of land surrounding the plant had been destroyed by pollution, and a further 61 hectares were being affected. Bad news for the works. In the middle of 1895, the smelter closed, and the plant was demolished the following year. During its lifetime, the smelter produced approximately 40,000 tonnes of zinc from 200,000 tonnes of ore, using about the same quantity of coal. The waste from the smelter occupies a triangular piece of land north of the site, bounded by the railway, which we'll come to in a moment. In 1928, the site was opened up again by the Tyndale Extracting Company Limited, set up to extract white zinc oxide from the residues, for sale to the paint industry. However, the zinc oxides produced weren't up to scratch, and the plant closed in 1931 at a loss of £40,000. Today, only the concrete pillars remain of the 20th century plant, which was built on top of the original smelter. A large amount of the waste was extracted for filling when RAF Spade Adam was built at nearby Gilsland, much of the detritus used as ballast for the launching pad of the ill-fated Blue Streak. But that's another story. Now back to that railway. As early as 1775, a railway line had been constructed by the Earl of Carlisle between Brampton Coalstaith and Tyndale Fell. It had its origins in wooden wagonways, but subsequently the tracks were realigned to meet up with the main Newcastle and Carlisle Railway at Brampton Junction Station. The rails were respaced to George Stephenson's 4 foot 8.5 inch gauge and were worked by steam. The engine used was Stephenson's Rocket, bought for £300. Now a prized possession and major attraction at the National Science Museum in South Kensington, London, Rocket worked delivering coal from local mines to Tyndale between 1836 and 1840. After that, retired out of service, it remained locally, housed for a further 20 years until 1862, when it was donated to the Patent Museum in London by the Thompsons of Milton Hall near Brampton. The Earl of Carlisle railway lines, too, are now long gone. Some of their path forms part of the Sustrans National Cycle Route. A major source of power to the Spelter Works was water channelled and diverted from Tyndale Town, a natural and ancient supply of glacial-formed water situated close by. Standing alongside the edge of the town is a farmhouse built in the late 15th century for Humphrey, Lord Dacre, as a peel tower, later used as an administrative building for exploiting the Dacre estate, initially for coal and, seemingly, for cheese-making, on some scale, in the 17th century. The building, like many at the time, displayed some defence to protect it from any local discontent, but that is yet another story. Today, nature has reclaimed much of the land around Tyndale. Aided by the efforts of the RSPB, who hold much of this land in trust, the area is now a nature reserve, returning perhaps in some way to its pre-industrial state. But of course, not yet completely forgetting its history.